Today is Monday, May 25th, 2020. This is Sunday's sermon. Yes, I know today is Monday, but this really isn't a sermon since I have no congregation. Church has been virtual or fake or non-existent since we've been attacked by our government. So I guess it doesn't really matter if I preach a fake sermon to a fake congregation on the wrong day. But if it were May 24th, 2020, it would be Ascension Sunday, the Sunday to acknowledge the prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, and his return to heaven. Next week, May 31st, 2020, is Pentecost, when we hear the story of the arrival of the Holy Spirit. Here are the lectionary readings for May 24th. First, a reading from a translation of the Quran. This is from The Message of the Quran, translated and explained by Muhammad Assad. This is the promise of comfort to those suffering misfortune and hardship. Quran chapter 2, verses 199 to 200. Do you think that you could enter paradise without having suffered like those believers who passed away before you? Misfortune and hardship befell them, and so shaken were they that the apostles and the believers with him would exclaim, "When will God's succor come?" Oh, verily, God's succor is always near. The first lectionary reading is from Acts. This is the story of Jesus, peace be upon him, ascension to heaven. Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 14. So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" He replied, "It's not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up towards heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up towards heaven? This Jesus, who's been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. And when they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. And all these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. The second lectionary text is from 1 Peter. This reading is most relevant to our current experience, in my opinion. Listen. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 14, chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that is taking place among you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in so far as you are sharing Christ's sufferings, so that you may also be glad and shout for joy when his glory is revealed. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory, which is the Spirit of God, is resting on you. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Discipline yourselves. Keep alert. Like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls around, looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Steadfast in your faith, for you know that your brothers and sisters throughout the world are undergoing the same kinds of suffering. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. And finally, the gospel text is from John's gospel. This is the prayer of Jesus, peace be upon him, for those who have been given to him. John 17:1-11. After Jesus had spoken these words, he looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that the Son may glorify you. Since you have given him authority over all people to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you, for the words that you gave to me I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. I'm going to add one more reading. This is saying 18 from the Gospel of Thomas, sayings of Jesus discovered in Nag Hammadi, Egypt in 1945, 1,600 years after they were buried there. Gospel of Thomas 18. The disciples said to Jesus, Tell us how our end will be. Jesus said, Since you have discovered the beginning, why do you seek the end? For where the beginning is, there the end will be. Blessed is he who shall stand at the beginning, in the beginning, and he shall know the end, and shall not taste death. I am a Presbyterian Church USA pastor. My name is John Shuck. My website is johnshuck.com. J-O-H-N-S-H-U-C-K, johnshuck.com. I've been a Presbyterian minister for 27 years. I'm not currently serving a church. I resigned my last call in November 2019 over a difference of vision, direction, understanding of the gospel. Then the apocalypse hit, and all the churches shut themselves down, except for a notable few. I mention with gratitude Liberty Fellowship Church in Kalispell, Montana, with Pastor Chuck Baldwin. They did not cave in to the beast and continued to worship in body. Do check out my interview with Pastor Chuck Baldwin on Progressive Spirit. He and I agree that COVID is a psyop. It's not about a virus. It is about control. But before I talk more about that, I do wish to put this out there. I am looking for a call to serve a church. In fact, I wrote this today on my Facebook page. I am ready to be called to a church as pastor. No virtual church, physical gathering, singing, laying on of hands to heal, communion, preaching, intercessory prayer. I realize that we have been so psychologically and spiritually damaged by these misanthropic commands, social distancing, walking in rows, wearing masks, suspecting everyone of being diseased, that we will have to teach people how to touch again. This is truly diabolical. Time to rise up and be the church again. If there are people in the Portland, Oregon area looking for a church, a real church, a flesh and blood gathering with a real pastor, also flesh and blood, then let me know. I will bring spiritual insights from a variety of places, but it will be centered on the search for what is true and on actions that are good, truth and goodness. This is from the Presbyterian Form of Government, F-3.0104. It was written, I think, in the 18th century. Truth and goodness. That truth is an order to goodness, and the great touchstone of truth, its tendency to promote holiness, according to our Savior's rule, by their fruits ye shall know them. And that no opinion can either be more pernicious or more absurd than that which brings truth and falsehood upon a level, and represents it as of no consequence what a man's opinions are. On the contrary, we are persuaded that there is an inseparable connection between faith and practice, truth and duty. Otherwise, it would be of no consequence either to discover truth or to embrace it. Truth matters. It matters what is actually true. It matters to know what is really going on, what is happening, what is true. Now, one could say, I don't care what's true. I'm just going to hide in my little world. Or one could say, it doesn't matter what is true. I can do what is good anyway. Both of those statements go against the spirit of truth and goodness. If you don't know the truth about what is happening, whatever good you try to do will be misinformed. What you think is good could actually be bad. You need to know the truth. There is no excuse for not knowing the truth. People can say to me, "You're crazy. You're a conspiracy theorist." So, maybe I am. Calling me names does not excuse you from searching for the truth. If you think you can blame your laziness on me, that isn't going to help you. It isn't about me. I may be crazy. I may be dead soon. Still, truth is at your door, waiting for you to open the door. It will be there regardless of your fear, regardless of your indecision, regardless of the messenger. I'm looking to serve a church based on the principles of truth and goodness. In this church, we will meet physically. There will be some music. We will sing together. We will touch. We will be close. We will pray. We will lay hands and invoke the power of the healing spirit to enter our bodies and our minds. We will break bread together. We will learn from the Bible, from the Quran, and from other ancient and holy texts. We will hear from spiritual leaders, past and present, pretty much what I've always done for my 27 years. I will be there for pastoral needs and celebrations, a friend to lean upon, a pastor to provide comfort during times of grief. And those times will be coming. As it says in 1 Peter, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that is taking place among you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you are sharing Christ's suffering, so that you may also be glad and shout for joy when his glory is revealed. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory, which is the Spirit of God, is resting on you." This church will embody the joy of sharing Christ's sufferings. Let me say that again. This church will embody the joy of sharing Christ's sufferings. You can't get more spiritual than that. We need each other physically. We need to be here for each other. We need to share Christ's sufferings. Satan has ripped us apart. Satan, the adversary, the devil, the roaring lion, has done this, that serpent. COVID is not about a virus. It is the fiery ordeal brought upon us by Satan and promoted through the media. We resist by being the church. This virus is a lie. It's a deception. It is a psyop. It is fake. Real people die. More people will die. But they will not die from a natural virus. They will die because they were murdered by the transnational agencies and personalities that have engineered this psyop. This is an attack. And that is the truth as I see it. And if it is true that we are under attack, then we should respond with goodness that is inseparably connected to this truth. Otherwise, we're responding as those who are attacking us want to respond, or want us to respond. If we are under attack, we need to find out who's doing it and how, so we can defend ourselves. This is what the church needs to be. We need to equip ourselves and help each other defend against these attacks. We are being stripped of our humanity. We are giving up our rights. We are being deprogrammed and reprogrammed. We are being programmed to deny our basic humanity and its needs, and being reprogrammed to become robots. What do you think all of this is about? 6 feet apart, walking up and down rows, following arrows, treated as if we're 5 years old, denied being able to work, to worship, to congregate, to fellowship, to protest, to go to the beach, of all things. Last week I drove to Montana. Signs flashing throughout the state read, "Non-essential out-of-state visitors must observe a mandatory 14-day quarantine." Yeah? Well, I am essential. We are all essential. No one is non-essential. That humiliating designation, that division of people between essential and non-essential, is part of the attack. This is an attack on our very humanity, with the excuse, with the false flag of a virus. I am not sick. You are not sick. We are not diseased. We are not contagious. We are being deceived. Let us breathe. According to the statistics, about 100,000 Americans have supposedly died of COVID, 300,000 worldwide. Think about that for a second. Why, of all the deaths around the world, that a third are Americans? Americans make up about 4 to 5% of the world's population. Why does COVID kill Americans more than any other? Think about that. Now, this is not an attack from another nation. This is an attack on Americans by transnational entities and personalities that convinced our leaders to do it to us. Destroy America, the rich country, the free country, and you destroy the world. I wrote this. T.S. Eliot's last stanza of his 98-stanza poem, Hollow Men, may be the most quoted of all of Eliot's poetry, says Wikipedia. Here it is. This is the way the world ends. This is the way the world ends. This is the way the world ends. Not with a bang, but a whimper. That's how I feel about our end, the end of humanity, which will happen before this decade ends, unless there is a literal, supernatural intervention. That's how I see it. They have destroyed us with fakery and deception. Humanity put on its mask, isolated, distanced, and decided that its basic rights and freedoms were selfish and gave them up. Humanity denied everything that had at one time defined it because they believed a lie. A lie so well crafted that they believed they were doing the right thing by doing what was against their very nature, what humans have done as long as they have been around. Humanity gave up its own power of healing that it had known since humanity began, allowing the clever powers to take it and tell humanity what was best for it. We allowed ourselves to be tricked. In Genesis, it was a trick by the serpent that started it all. The serpents who run this game are watching, waiting for their impeccable plan to run its course. No need to fire a shot. No need for tanks or martial law. No need for a bang. We submit with a whimper. Perhaps not even that. The whimper won't come until it is far too late. Perhaps we will never whimper, because we may never know that we were ever deceived. Maybe that will be a mercy. Facebook told me my last sermon went against its community standards and prevented it from being shown to my followers. This is war. Are you feeling it yet? What do they have to do to you? What do you have to suffer before you understand that this is an attack upon you? You won't get answers from the television. Stop watching it. It is bad for your health. The constant 24/7 messaging is literally a psyop. When we fly over countries that we bomb, we send leaflets first, telling them a bunch of lies in order to weaken their spirits. That is what the 24/7 media is. All channels, radio, TV, Hollywood movies, TV shows, Netflix, and of course advertising, all of it. It's the enemy's propaganda. It is deception. They're lying to you about a virus that exists in mythology. Those numbers I mentioned, about 100,000 deaths in the U.S. from the official statistics, well, they're exaggerated to say the least, probably all fake. Even if 100,000 died of something, it's what happens now and then. People die. 40,000 people die on American highways every year. 30,000 die from suicide every year. How many die from heart disease or alcoholism or anything else? Even if the numbers were accurate of 100,000 dead Americans due to COVID, it would never, ever justify destroying the society and through all of these nonsensical measures. Now, with 34 million unemployed because of the lockdown, not the virus, the lockdown, how many are going to die now? And it's just beginning. The narrative is fake. Think about it. This isn't real. What is real is what you see and experience. No one's dropping dead of a virus around you. People, however, are losing their jobs and their livelihoods. You see that. That is real. And as much as you want me to be wrong, and I'd like to be wrong too, it doesn't matter. Because what's real is what's real. It's happening. This is the apocalypse. This is an attack from the wealthiest 0.0001% upon all humanity. They control perception. The numbers are exaggerated, by the way. Doctors are paid to write COVID on death certificates, regardless of what killed them. Hospitals make money. There's no real test for this. So the diagnosis is simply made up when people say they have symptoms. Hospitals are empty. Nursing staff are being laid off. This is not real. I'm assuming that if you're still listening to me, you hopefully are aware that this is not right. This is a spiritual attack. This is a controlled demolition of the economy. This is the making of a new world order that is engineered by the billionaires who control the wealth of this planet. We are being enslaved. It's been planned for decades, if not generations. So what do we do? Well, I'm a pastor, so we need to deal with the spirituality of this from my perspective. We need to get our churches back and not give them up again. This goes for mosques, temples, synagogues, and other places of worship too, of course. But since most people who are religious are Christian in the United States, the church is the primary place to resist, and it was the primary object of attack. We need to open up churches, whether or not we have state approval to do so. This is spiritual war. This is the fiery ordeal that is talked about in 1 Peter. We are the persecuted church. We are also the world's defense. We defend by being human and by discerning what God is saying to us. Spirituality conquers deception in a few important ways. First, do not fear. Fear is not from God. Fear is from the deceiver. These serpents feed off of our fear. There is nothing to fear. They can kill us. That's it. They can kill the body, not the soul. We will die anyway at some point. Let us die for Christ. Let us die for Allah. Let us die because it is better to die than to be a slave. Banish fear from your life. When you feel afraid, find your Bible, find your Quran, pray, breathe, breathe in and out. I am not afraid. God is near. I am not afraid. God is near. From the Quran, do you think that you could enter paradise without having suffered, like those believers who passed away before you? Misfortune and hardship befell them, and so shaken were they that the apostle and the believers with him would exclaim, "When will God's succor, when will God's help come?" Oh, truly, God's help is always near. From Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. Feeling afraid? Pray it. Doesn't seem to work? Pray it again. Pray away the fear. Connect. Connect spiritually. Second, stay away from the media. It is programming designed to mess you up. Know that. It's enemy propaganda. Purify yourself from it. It's everywhere. Social media is controlled by the enemy, too. All of it belongs to the enemy. All media. Don't spend too much time on the screens. We have to use it, but it belongs to the enemy. Yeah. Know that. Be careful. So don't spend so much time in it that you get burned. Don't listen to the smooth-talking celebrities or politicians, no matter how much you like them. They are tools of the enemy. This is all deception. Rule of thumb that I mentioned last week, anyone who is unable to be truthful about 9/11 cannot be trusted. They either haven't done the research, or they're lying about it, or they are so deceived that they're worthless. 3. Instead, spend your time researching what is real. Here are some names to search through DuckDuckGo on your Brave browser. You should use private browsers and private search engines. DuckDuckGo, Brave, find those. Don't just search on Google bad news. There are more than this list of names to search. There are people out there who are searching for what is true and reporting it to you. Here are a few names that I know. Remember them, search them. Kevin Barrett. Spiro Skouras, Skouras. David Icke, Icke. James Corbett. Vanessa Bealey. Mark Taliano. Chuck Baldwin. Annie Bukacek. Helen Byniski, also Helen of Destroy. This is not an exhaustive list. They are people I know. They seem real to me because they've been real in what they've reported. Watch their videos. Read their articles. I post a lot of stuff on my Facebook page from different sources. I will do so until it is deleted and until I am deleted. We are being erased. However, the truth is rising and we need truth warriors. Don't believe everything. Don't believe anything. Discern for yourself. Be strong. So, 1, don't fear. 2, stay away from the media. 3, spend your time researching what is real. 4, know who your friends are and who the enemy is. This is war. Be careful. Know who your friends are, and they are few. Know who the enemy is. Most people are computer programs. The government presses enter, and people stand in line, put on a mask, snitch on their neighbors. They work for the enemy. The enemy is the one who imposed this lockdown. The enemy is the one who imposed this lockdown. Remember, we did not ask for this. We did not vote for this. There was no town hall meeting to decide what should happen. This goes against every natural inclination, every intuition that we have about what is right. We didn't discuss it. This was imposed on us. 5. Know that you have a purpose. It is no accident that you are here now. It is no accident that you are here now. It's no accident that you are hearing this or watching this or reading this, this is the apocalypse. You are alive in the midst of it, and you need to be strong. You need to be a warrior. 6. Take risks. Take the risks that you can to live as a human being. I cannot tell you what to do. You'll have to figure that out. But meeting with a community of other human beings physically can help. Again, here are the 6 things. 1, do not fear. 2, stay away from the media. 3, research what is real. 4, know your friends and your enemy. 5, know you have a purpose. 6, take risks. You didn't sign up for this. I get it. This got dumped on us. Yeah. The best I see it is that you and I are eternal consciousness, having a particular experience. When we identify so closely with the experience that we cannot free ourselves from our emotions, we need to back up and remember who we are spiritually. We need to meditate, to pray, to journal, to exercise, to do whatever it takes to realize that we have a body, but we are not our body. We have emotions, but we are not our emotions. We have thoughts, but we are not our thoughts. We can step back from them and realize that reality. We are from above. We are part of the eternal. We are of God. One day we shall return. We will ascend like Jesus, peace be upon him. One of the practices that has been taken from us, perhaps the most important practice, is to gather physically so we can share our experience. We have to take that back. We have to get together physically with people whom you love and be human. Touch, hug, embrace, pray, weep, laugh. That is the church. The Greek word is ekklesia, the physical gathering of people. Let us be that again, now. Amen.